from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. It has been such an interesting show and a fun one as well. And I am attributing it to the fact that it is my dog Scooter's 11th birthday today.
Oh, Scooter. Scooter.
Yes. I posted on our Facebook page. If you haven't liked or aren't following us on Facebook, do it, because then you can see a picture of Scooty, otherwise known as Scooter, on his 11th birthday.
Well, let me ask you this, Ursula, before we get to agree to disagree here in the moment. Do you love Scooter more than anybody else in your household? That includes your two sons?
No. I mean, wait, do I love my dog more than my children?
No.
Oh, am I the one who loves him the most? Based on the number, no.
Who loves him the most? Who loves Scooter the most?
I would say maybe my son, Eric.
Okay.
Yeah, he is technically Eric's dog. Eric really wanted a dog. We were not so sure because both my husband and I work, and we weren't sure that we would be able to take care of a dog. But then now everyone loves Scooter, but I would say especially Eric, although maybe he could walk him a little bit more when he's home.
Yeah, that's this new thing now. I noticed that these kids, you kids out here, I'm talking to you kids, you guys want to get these animals, and then you want to go do your own thing.
And guess what? Their responsibilities.
Right. I was at the store yesterday. What was I doing? I was getting crickets, because I have now a bearded dragon that I take care of, that I go in and check on all the time and make sure that he has absolutely everything, lettuce and kale and strawberries and crickets. And so, as much as I want to complain,
it's always how that works. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to it. Agree to disagree. Brought to you by Johnny Tsunami.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
All right. So we know Inslee announced yesterday that no county is going to move forwards or backwards. We're in a 2-week pause. Ursula, was this the right decision? And why do you think it's a pause when everyone expected counties to go backwards?
A couple of reasons, and I'm just going to go with the reasons that they gave. One is that there was some evidence, because a lot of the numbers used in these metrics they're delayed. So there was evidence that we could be seeing a plateau. So I think that's one. Two, recognizing that this is going to be an impact to these businesses that have been impacted already so heavily. And if you can see that some of the case rates are at least plateauing or going down in some areas, that maybe you can hold it and see if this is not just a blip, but actually a trend, and maybe we're at the tail end of this fourth wave. That all said, I just got an email from one of our listeners who works at a hospital in Tacoma, and he says, a month and a half ago, we had 9 COVID patients. Yesterday, we had 29. 21 of them are between the ages of 18 and 50, and he says hospitals are at capacity. So
yeah, but I've noticed something. I've noticed that they have changed. This was the first time I had heard this. Before, it was talking about the hospitalizations going up. Now they're talking about the hospital stay has gone down.
But you know
why?
But you know why, G? There's a couple of reasons. One, this far into the pandemic, doctors and medical staff are realizing what it is that can keep people alive, so they've gotten better at it. Vaccines are helping, at least in some cases, lessening the symptoms, like in the case of you, right? And there are other drugs that are available, and we are seeing it in younger people. But these younger people shouldn't be getting as sick as they're getting.
The question is, oh my gosh, the question is simple. Was this the right decision to put a pause? And the answer to
yes.
Okay, that's fine. Let me go ahead and answer now. The answer is yes, it was the right decision. It should have been the same decision 2 to 3 weeks ago when I asked the same thing, if you could just go ahead and make there be a pause. I have been consistent in saying the numbers don't tell the story. And they still don't tell the story. But what does end up happening is all of the different rules that apply. So I'll just kind of keep it simple. Yes, I agree with the pause. Thank you for that pause and doing that. And I would just wish it would have happened before. But if we want to talk about moving forward, let's just move forward. I'm just going to go ahead and agree with that, because now this does not hurt these restaurants and gyms right now financially.
All right, so the decision came down early this morning. The Facebook Oversight Board upheld the Trump ban for 6 more months at least. Gee, should Trump be banned from Facebook? And does the fact that it's a private company let them do whatever they want?
Yes, he should be banned from Facebook. And even though I'm a private citizen, Donald Trump is a private citizen. And for the reasons that Facebook had him get off of Facebook, ban him from Facebook, are for some reasons like the January 6th insurrection. They're talking about that. They're talking about the continued repeated thing of saying that it was a stolen election. And those. So if I would probably be permanently banned, then any other citizen should be permanently banned. And so if that private company wants to do that, then they have that right to do that.
I think we need to point out, though, that this private company has a much bigger reach even than broadcasting companies today. We're talking about, you know, hundreds of millions of people are actually even, you know, much more than that in the case of Facebook. So I think that there should be some kind of, regulation when it comes to private companies in some way. But also, I think that you need to have consistent rules. If you're going to ban President Trump forever, it can't just be because you disagree with the politics. What are the criteria that you are using, and is it consistently applied regardless of political? You know, for me personally, I love the fact that he's banned. But I think looking at a bigger picture, I would have to ask, is this being applied fairly? And I don't know that I could answer that easily. Well, and I think it's good that, okay, for now, there's a 6-month ban, but you've got to come up. I agree with the decision by this oversight board that you need to be much more specific, and it can't be so open-ended, and there can't be this lack of process, because that, I think, is unfair.
Why did they ban him in the first place?
Well, I agree with their decision to ban him, and it's because he was spreading lies, which he's still continuing to do, and this disinformation, and he's still saying that he won the election. So he hasn't learned. However,
I did that.
Yeah, exactly. We would be banned. But we haven't been. And here's the question. Can you think of anyone who has an extreme liberal point of view, high profile, that has been banned from Facebook? Because I can't.
Hold on. I don't see. It doesn't matter what your point of view is, extremely liberal or extremely conservative. You will get banned from Facebook by inciting or doing exactly what Donald Trump did. You know what I'm saying? Like this, to answer your question. No, I can't think of anyone that is extremely liberal, but give me somebody extremely liberal that's done what he's done and did not get kicked off the platform. Oh, the Minister Farrakhan was kicked off the platform. There's one.
Okay.
All right. So President Biden on Tuesday announced a new phase in the effort to vaccinate Americans against COVID. They're now starting to talk about focusing on 12 to 15 year olds. It could happen even as soon as the next week or two. Ursula, are you comfortable with younger and younger kids getting vaccinated? A lot of listeners on the text line say, I don't want to give my kids this experimental vaccine.
I want the emphasis to be on adults. I want the emphasis to be on adults who can make the decisions for themselves. And I think that we need to put much more emphasis on getting adults vaccinated. We're still at, 35% of the country or 50% have one of the vaccines. We are nowhere close to herd immunity. I think that we need to do a better job of educating adults before we start trying to push kids to do it. And yeah, I think that's, I'll stick with that answer. Do I feel comfortable personally, like with a kid 5, 6, 7 years old like that? No, not at this juncture.
Well, right now, yes, I do want to focus to be possibly put on 12 to 15 year olds getting vaccinated, because right now we have schools that are in session, and a lot of kids, when they catch COVID, a lot of them are asymptomatic. So therefore, it's like a petri dish of COVID that is possibly happening. I got a friend whose daughter who is 9 years old. She had COVID, no symptoms, asymptomatic and everything. And so we are going to find out later on that this COVID spreads amongst the youngsters, those younger than 16 years old, far more than we think. No, they might not get hospitalized. No, they might not die, but they do have an opportunity to transmit that and transfer that to others.
All right, so as millennials are beginning to turn 40, a new study says that 44% of older millennials born between 81 and 88 report having been diagnosed with at least one chronic health condition. 44% one chronic health condition. This is way higher than previous generations. Gee, why do you think this is, and does it have anything to do with how they were raised?
No, I don't think it has to do with how they were raised. I think it's everything to do with what's in our food, what we are eating. You cannot tell the preservatives, the processed foods that we're eating, the foods that are made to taste really good, what's in our animals, what's being given to them. So I remember growing up, Ursula, when I'd have a piece of chicken compared to when I have a piece of chicken now. Like, hold up. Did I miss something? How in the world is that chicken that big on my plate? I think it has
full of breading.
Right?
3 inches thick.
I think it has everything to do with what's in our food.
I think it's a combination. I'm finding it very scary that we're talking about close to 50% have been diagnosed with a chronic condition. And we're talking about, Chris, we're talking about things like anxiety, depression, diabetes,
yeah,
heart disease. Okay, so the heart disease, diabetes, that clearly has to do with diet, also portion control or lack thereof. When you go to different countries and you see the portions they put on your plate compared to what we get here, you're going to think that you're getting ripped off because the plates are tiny. I'm just laughing because I was picturing what happened one time when we went to Italy, and it was like there was so much space on the plate, and you don't get used to that, right? Because here it's all about the big giant portions. So I think that's one thing. But when we're talking about things like ADHD, anxiety, depression, I do think a lot of that is one, this rush to try to fix things, fix problems, and a lot of it is, you know, let's throw some medications at it. I have been guilty of that. I think also understanding more about anxiety and depression versus just chalking it up and saying, oh, just get over it. I mean, I think people have a much better understanding of it and are also able to talk about it more. But I do think some of the parenting, too, has to do with it. Just think of just in the last couple of decades, how much pressure we have put on our own children and all these expectations. And then plus the advent of social media and everything that is available. Everyone wants everything right away. I mean, so many things that we do today are so unhealthy that as alarming as it is to say over 40% of that generation has a chronic condition, it shouldn't come as a huge surprise.
I mean, you know, just to add on, I think we are on the same page with this, Ursula, but, you know, keep it a buck right here. Back in the 80s, did you ever have a friend of yours or anybody in the family say, oh, sorry, I can only eat gluten free? I mean, like the things that we are hearing now, right? Like, hey, I can't eat this. I can't eat that. And some of those things. And by the way, I'm not making fun of those things. I'm not making fun of those things at all, because it's not really funny and it's not cool. But I'm just saying that I kind of have an idea when it started. And this is the truth, Ursula. I think the foods and what's going on with our foods, the whole trend started in the early 90s. Once the whole fat-free, right? Everything's fat-free. Diet sodas was a big deal, and fat-free this and fat-free that, and everybody was eating fat-free stuff. And what ended up happening is, in America, as everything we were eating was fat-free, we were realizing, like, man, boy, I sure did gain 10 pounds last year. I don't know what happened. I was eating everything fat-free. What do you mean? Right? So we started to do that. Then now there's this war on food, right? Like, well, our food tastes better and our food tastes better. And so basically nobody wants to eat anything nasty. And one of the things I learned from a nutritionist is this: the better the food tastes, chances are the more unhealthier it is.
Sadly, but true.
Sadly.
The number of births in the country's declined by 7% across the U.S., and people thought the birth rate might go up because everyone's in lockdown with COVID, but it's actually declining. The decline in births over time could result in a smaller workforce, higher cost of caring for the elderly, as well as not as much money coming into Social Security. Ursula, should we be concerned about this, or should we use it as a thing to capitalize on? Like, we don't have as many people now, so let's make this a positive thing.
Okay, I don't know that this is going to last very long. I mean, we've been in this pandemic for over a year, and I understand, you know, the stresses, why you wouldn't be so much in the amorous mood, but we're starting to come out.
It's just, I love the way you worded that. I'm sorry, but continue. My goodness.
We're starting to come out of all of this. We start starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel, and you look around, people having more of that bounce in their step. You know, things are going to look differently, but I don't think this is going to last very long. So I look at this as a result of what we've seen in the pandemic.
Oh, Ursula, this is so easy to understand. Here's the deal. Our generation, Ursula, we as parents, we were the ones that found out when it was too late how much child care cost. And once we found out those costs, and we found out that the child care costs sometimes are the equivalent to your mortgage and or more sometimes, the young generation said, nope, I ain't going to do that. I saw how my mom and dad struggled with to pay that child care payment. I'm going to wait till I'm in my 30s. I'm going to wait till my significant other and I, we have our careers intact. We're making more money. And truth be told, let's be real, it costs money to have kids.
Before, yeah, it sure does.
Hey, before folks was like, oh, you know, I want to get married. We want to have three kids. We want to have a white picket fence. Today, folks are like, hold up. How many kids you want to have? Okay, pull out the calculator. Okay, 1, 3, carry the one. You know what? We can't have another child for 5 years. So that means you're going to have to make sure. Well, I wasn't going to go into that. But anyways, you know what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
It costs money. You like this conversation, Ursula.
I'm just laughing because we have just so oversimplified a few things here. But yeah, I'm going with it.
It's the G and Ursula show. That's what we do. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. Everybody has to stay around for this conversation. Yes, you guys have heard the news. Bill and Melinda Gates, they have gone their separate ways. First of all, they had a phenomenal marriage, 27 years. That's fantastic. However, there's some new news that came out that we need to find out if you would be okay with. We do that next. It's the G and Ursula Show.
Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show. This hour of our show is brought to you by Guardian Operations. When Bill and Melinda Gates announced earlier this week they were splitting after 27 years of marriage, it came as such a big shock for so many of us. I think we all had the impression, or many of us did, that they had a solid marriage. They've done so much good for the world together. If anyone was going to stay together, it was going to be these two. Neither is saying why they're breaking up now, but we are learning a few more details, G, about this arrangement that the billionaire Microsoft co-founder had as part of his deal when he tied the knot back in 1994. Have you heard about this?
Yes, continue.
Okay, so apparently Bill Gates would continue to have long weekends or spend a week each year, this is part of the deal, with an ex-girlfriend named Anne Winblad. So she is a fellow nerd techie, and they would do in a 1997 profile in Time magazine, Bill Gates would say that they would get together. He even went to Winblad for approval before proposing to Melinda. This is something that she said in an interview, and Winblad did, just a couple of years ago.
Bill and I are still very close friends.
Right.
And he is an interesting guy.
Yeah.
He reads more books than anyone can ever imagine. He's a student of so many things. I mean, anything he reads, he becomes a student of.
So apparently they had this arrangement. Chris was trying to fact check for me. They had this arrangement to continue seeing each other for decades. So, you know, even after they got married, again, back in 1984, which leads us, and I don't want to speculate that, oh, was this it? Or is he, you know, leaving Melinda for her or anything? I want to talk about just the bigger picture of, would you be okay with this in a marriage?
I mean, there are things inside of my relationships that I'm okay with that you or somebody else might not be okay with. The same way there might be things in your relationship, in someone else's relationship, that would not be okay with mine. Now, first, number one, this wasn't a secret. So kudos to them for being up and honest about this. That's number one. Number two, would I want my significant other going to just go away with someone to go hang out? No, I wouldn't. I would not feel comfortable with that. But again, to each their own, right? Like that's the thing. Like sometimes I am guilty of looking at other situations and thinking, ooh, I wouldn't do that. Well
that's human nature. I mean, let's face it. I mean, we're always kind of assessing, like, would this be something that would work for me?
Mm-hmm.
This sounds to me like something that happened with Princess Diana and Camilla Parker Bowles and Prince Charles and that whole triangle, where she always felt like there was someone he actually felt that maybe he was a better connection with. And again, make it very, very clear, we don't know that that's the case here. But just speaking of, you know, would you be okay with it? Absolutely not.
Right.
I would always feel like, wait a minute, they're sharing something and they're continuing to share something that I am not a part of. And yes, she is a part of his history, but we have a new history together. And I would always be worried about, what is it that you're not getting in our relationship that you have to seek this ex-lover of yours mm-hmm. for that whatever is missing?
Right.
Text us at 98973. If you have either been in a relationship like this where you think, okay, this works and I'd be okay with it, but just like, when I have a, let's say, I'm not friends anymore with my past boyfriends, but if I were, let's just say, I would fully expect that if that relationship were to continue, Mark would be part of that relationship. I'm not going to have something separate from my husband with someone that I had a past with.
Right, right. I believe you too, Ursula. Millionaires, billionaires. I've learned a few things over the last, if you will, almost 20 years of my life. First of all, financially, I've spent the majority of my life barely able to pay my bills. That's number one. And an observation, Ursula, that I have on marriages and relationships that I have personally seen over the years is this. The closer you are to the poverty line, I believe the closer your marriage is to what all of us deem to be normal. The closer you are to the billionaire status, oh, Ursula, woo, things change. I've seen so many different things that happen with relationships. I'm not saying all, a lot of relationships when there is a lot of financial resources involved. They don't do things normal like we do. Like a week away here or a month away here, that's That's nothing. That's just what happens. And so what I'm trying to say is that you would be amazed at the relationships that we see on social media, and we say things like, oh my goodness, I can't believe they divorce. They look like they had the best marriage. Well, most of the time, we usually are judging the appearance of a relationship rather than the actual relationship. Or somebody says, oh, that G got divorced again. Oh, of course he did. That's just what he does, right? You know what I mean? So it's always the appearance of the relationships. But back to my original point, Ursula, I'm telling you, when these relationships, when there's a lot of money involved, it gets
weird. Very specific. What have you seen? What have you observed? Like, very specifically.
Okay, I'm glad you asked. All right, here's one.
That's PG, a family show.
Okay, PG. I won't put any names. I've seen a situation where the husband was with the sister of his, so his sister-in-law was engaging in an affair for a little over a year. They got caught and found out, and then after that, everything got made good again. I'm sorry, won't do that again, and everybody's a family again. Kumbaya.
Okay, that wouldn't. I don't care how much money you have. That's so, not happening.
So, and that's the thing, Ursula. And by the way, this has nothing to do with the Gates. This is just me telling you guys my observations of what I've seen. And what I've seen is financial decisions get made, if business decisions get made, on the decision to leave relationships. Sometimes someone says, well, even though that happened, I'm still going to stay anyways, because financially I will still benefit. I've also seen, Ursula, I've also seen where this one person in the relationships continues to allow that person to continue messing up while they build a case for a divorce.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then once the case is built for the divorce, they go get the divorce, they go get the half, and then their whole plan is to get back out there on the market and do it again.
Devious. Okay, the only way that this would fly is, okay, hey, if you have that arrangement, well, just then you need to be okay with me having a similar arrangement, or I'd come up with something that, hey, if you're cool with that, then you need to be cool with me doing, you know, XYZ, and then we're okay with it. But I just don't see that ever works in the favor of the person who's being left out. So that's just me.
Ursula, I just wanted to tell you, do not judge me on the appearance of my relationship. I just want to let you know that I do a lot better than it appears to be. How about that?
Sounds good.
I was practicing, Ursula. I was practicing my speech with you and see if I sounded convincing. Hey, coming up next, we take your text, your feedback, and then Ursula's words to live by. You guys are listening to the G and Ursula Show. G and Ursula Show. Happy Wednesday to all of you. Ursula, before we get to our texts and feedback and words to live by, I just want to say, I know we say we love our listeners all the time, but boy, we got some listeners that really keep it a buck, because they have been sending some text messages in. I had one text in and say she is married. She would have no problem with her husband going away once 1 week out of the year to do whatever. I mean, a lot of texts that have come in. We also got another. Anyways, I probably shouldn't be reading the text, but I just wanted to kind of continue on what we were talking about. But let's get to it.
Okay. On the scenarios and the husband and wife disagreeing about getting kids vaccinated, 360, with this explosive topic, a simple conversation doesn't work. I wanted to get my kids vaccinated for measles and all the other normal vaccinations, nothing to do with COVID. She refused. Now we are divorced. She got the kids, and they're still not vaccinated.
Wow. Ursula, you got to keep going. I don't have the text.
360 says, funny how my body, my decision applies to those that want the vaccine. But if you don't want it, you need to be more informed. Typical hypocrisy. When it comes to Bill and Melinda Gates, 425 says, to each their own, 100%. And then 509 says, I don't think the rules are the same for billionaires like the rest of us normal folks who are normal. Would I be okay with emotional infidelity? Heck no.
I don't have the text yet, but I did see one text, Ursula, and I'll read it when it comes to that. 206 says, my wife had a friend she constantly joked was her gay husband. She and her gay husband would constantly have dinner and drinks when I was away on business, and she would always joke that she wouldn't be lonely because she would invite her gay husband over. They're married now.
Oy, oy, oy. Okay, when it comes to rollbacks, 206 says G is mad about the rollbacks and also mad that the rollbacks are being paused. Another one from 206, wrong G. Governor Inslee gave Pierce County a pause. He warned them repeatedly and postponed sending them back to phase two, but the number of cases kept going up.
Notice how people cannot answer what I've been saying all day without bringing up Pierce County. Yeah, I'm talking about King County.
Okay, well, here's one for King County. 253 says, exactly, G. It's because King County are Inslee voters. He moves the goalpost around King County, and he's killing all of the other counties. Help people get the shot and open things up. Stop with these shutdowns. Mm. And then here's an important one. 206 says, Ursula came across as a bully when she dismissed G's position on the governor's pause, and it's not the first time.
You're right. Well, that's it. I felt bullied. Ursula has been bullying me, y'all.
No, wait. Apparently, I got a few people upset. Another one said, 360, I don't like it when you guys fight. Can I just say something, though? I did text you right away, and I said, I apologize. I didn't
mean to.
Yeah, and I could tell that we were getting... It's exhausting. You know, it is exhausting, but I immediately apologized, and I just want you to know I love you. We may, you know, agree to disagree at times, but you know I respect you, and we're good.
Well, just so you guys know that when Ursula and I, when we disagree, that's further proof that our show is real. Like, this is not made up. This isn't designed to make it look a certain way.
No.
But at the same time, when we disagree, that's fine. I never take it personal because I know Ursula loves me.
Yes.
You have a choice.
Exactly.
All right.
Okay.
We got to get to the words to live by.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is about apologies. This is from Kathy Burnham-Martin, who says, apologies require taking full responsibility, no half-truths, no partial admissions, no rationalizations, no finger-pointing, and no justifications belong in any kind of apology. I totally own it. I was too much of a bully.
Oh, Ursula, can we just sit on that for a moment? Ursula, great show today, my friend.
Thank you.
Hey, Chris Martin, thank you for all you do, man. Appreciate you, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Andrew, thank you for all the work you do behind the scenes, on the board. Appreciate you, sir. And we appreciate all of you. We do this again tomorrow at around about 9 o'clock. Tomorrow's Thursday. Enjoy the rest of this weather. Appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. And be good.